Holding government accountable for how they spend our tax dollars. It's Illinois Watchdog Radio on Cities 92.9. Call the show at 451-9299. Text the show at 807-1600. Now, here's your host, Benjamin Yount.
Well, it's not actually Benjamin Yount. I'm Jacob Hubert filling in for Ben over this Independence Day weekend. Thanks for being here with us. Politicians and members of the political class in this state really do see the rest of us as second-class citizens. If you look at the way this state operates and has been operating for decades, it's obvious if you look at who gets the money and who pays for things. But usually the politicians don't say it out loud. Usually they have the good sense to pretend that they're acting in your interests and kind of create a smokescreen so it seems like they're trying to look out for you. But yesterday, one of them basically did say out loud that they're looking out for themselves and not for you. And they did it on the floor of the General Assembly with a live microphone. So we're going to play a clip now. This is Senator Kimberly Lightford from Cook County outside of Chicago. Now, remember, of course, you don't need reminding if you listen to this show, the state of Illinois is in a fiscal crisis. We cannot pay our bills. Vendors are not getting paid. Services are not getting funded. We have a pension obligation to workers that we cannot meet. We have a serious problem here where there is not enough money to go around. And of course the politicians are to blame for it because they haven't, they've made promises they can't keep. They've overspent. So that's the situation where we're in. So against this backdrop, here is what Senator Kimberly Lightford had to say, about what the General Assembly should be focusing on.
I know this is something that many of us think is taboo, we shouldn't say, but as legislators, we should get paid for the work that we do. And I think it's wrong for our income to be held for months and months and months, which is another game that's being played. So I hope the work that we're doing today would allow us an opportunity to continue to take care of our own homes. And I'm hoping the comptroller will decide and recognize that we're not vendors, that we're actually employees of this body, and we deserve to be paid.
Wow. We're not vendors. We're not like those other people who the state has made promises to, who have done provided actual services for the state who aren't getting paid. People like that dentist who texted us in the past hour who said he's owed $90,000. We're not like them. We're legislators, so we should just get paid right away. We shouldn't have to wait at all to get the money that we believe that's coming to us. We're not like those vendors who apparently she thinks are second-class citizens. And if she thinks that the vendors who provide services to the state are second-class citizens, what do you think she thinks of you, who doesn't have any connection to the state government? Unbelievable. It's kind of unbelievable that people even get paid like a full-time salary to do the job of a state legislator. You know, a lot of people recall being a legislator like public service, like it's a service. But it's not. They're not doing a service. They're not volunteers. Apparently, some of these people are relying on it as their career. And apparently, some of these people can't handle any delay in being paid, even as their own fiscal responsibility means that other people aren't getting paid. People like vendors who had nothing to do with bringing about this fiscal crisis. So that's Senator Kimberly Lightford. You might want to look up her up online and get her email address or her phone number. Let her know what you think about her saying that, because people who say that kind of thing should hear about it. And of course, that's just, again, that's just an unusually explicit example of their arrogance and their entitlement and what they think of you. But it's evident in virtually everything they do. Here to talk about that some more with us is Jared LaBelle. He's executive director of Taxpayers United of America. Taxpayers United of America is an organization here in Illinois that has been fighting against tax hikes, holding politicians accountable for tax hikes since 1976. Jared, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on, Jacob.
So as I was saying, there seem to be some haves and some have-nots in this state. It's not just the politicians. It's the politicians who get special treatment. And I should add, under the law, their salaries are authorized by law every year, no matter what. You know, most state spending has to be reauthorized every year. Ordinary state workers' salaries have to be authorized by the General Assembly by passing a law every year. But the state legislators have written it into law that they automatically get paid no matter what. And then here you have this lady complaining that she gets a little bit of a delay because the comptroller has actually decided that it's fair to make legislators get in line like everybody else. But anyway, it's not just these legislators. It's a lot of people in the political class who get special treatment. It's a lot of state workers who get more favorable treatment than everybody else. Jared, can you tell us about some of the advantages that these state workers get that the rest of us don't?
Well, absolutely. And to first start with State Senator Lightford, in our last biannual tax survey, which we use to grade representatives and senators in Illinois based on their fealty to the taxpayers, she received an 18%. That's not great, to say the least. She doesn't care about taxpayers, to put it bluntly, and she basically said so right there in the legislature. And she's not alone. Of course, she's demanding to be paid for, as you put it, it's not really a service, as these people are responsible for the financial situation that the state is currently in. And this goes back, as your previous guest, Eric Cohen, mentioned, both for Republican and Democratic administrations. It's a bipartisan effort to fleece the people of Illinois. And it extends also into the government unions who demand exorbitant benefits and pay that far outpace the private sector at the same time that the state is on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, we talk about state public sector unions in the state. The most prominent one, of course, is AFSCME, and they're demanding a raise even as the state is in its crisis that they've put us in with their already exorbitant pay and benefits. And when they argue about this, they say that they're representing the middle class. They're looking out for the interests of the middle class. But of course, that's a lie, because the overwhelming majority of the middle class does not belong to AFSCME and doesn't benefit from what AFSCME does. On the contrary, the majority of the middle class has to pay for these exorbitant salaries and benefits that the state workers get. And state workers, we should add, get paid more than equivalent private sector workers for doing the same job. State workers get Cadillac-level health plans that they have to contribute relatively little for. State workers have to contribute, about $4,400 a year for their health care costs. And who picks up the remaining $15,000 for their Cadillac health plans? Well, it's you and me, the taxpayer, the actual people of the middle class. There's a total of about 35,000, a little more than 35,000 AFSCME jobs in Illinois. Meanwhile, there's about 584,000 manufacturing jobs in Illinois. But that number keeps going down and down and down. Why? Because Illinois is taxing people to pay for this tiny handful of state workers' exorbitant benefits. So it's really outrageous that they get this in the first place, and it's really outrageous that they're asking us for more. Jared, what else is there that that treats the ordinary taxpayer, the private sector worker, as a second-class citizen?
Well, you're absolutely right on the point. AFSCME, manufacturers are outnumbering AFSCME employees 16 to 1. Yet, again, they and other government unions are put as the top of the pedestal in Illinois. And it's due to the pension protection clause of the Illinois State Constitution, which, by the way, is partially due to Michael Madigan. He was there in 1970 at the Constitutional Convention in Illinois and made sure that this was a protection that was put into the new Constitution. And
well,
so
well, yeah,
because
but,
of that and because of the SB 1 ruling by the state Supreme Court last year, these government employees and their pensions are protected. And that is an issue that is coming to the forefront, and it has for at least the last decade. It's been growing. People that are not even very politically active have latched on to this issue because it's amazing when you look at some of these numbers. When pensioners are retiring with pensions totaling sometimes in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, it's absolutely criminal. And it's not the fault of these government employees. They're just going along with the system that was created by the politicians who look for their votes.
And well, that's right. That's right.
It's an iron triangle of corruption.
And we should add here that, of course, we don't want to blame any given state workers. There's lots of innocent, well-intentioned state workers. Lots of state workers, we should add also, who are forced to give money to AFSCME but don't agree with what AFSCME does, who don't want their neighbors to be forced to pay for unfair, excessive benefits. So we certainly don't want to blame all state workers for this problem, but we do want to blame AFSCME because they push for this and because they lie about the situation. They say they represent the middle class when, in fact, they don't represent the middle class. And as for these pensions, you know, that pension clause, we should say, the Illinois Supreme Court did not read it correctly. This pension clause was put in there so that when state workers were promised something as a pension benefit as part of their employment, it would be a contract just like the kind of contracts that people in the private sector would have. And in the private sector, you don't have to every single year give somebody the same level of benefits or have them accrue the same level of benefits that they've always been accruing. You can adjust if the business needs to adjust. You can make a new deal that adjusts their benefits going forward. But the Illinois Supreme Court has read this in a totally unreasonable way where you can never make any adjustments. And that's part of why we're in this situation. And of course, AFSCME will not consider any reasonable compromise on this issue whatsoever.
Well, and thankfully, though, they did see a setback. Governor Rauner's veto of House Bill 580 was not overridden. They did not have the votes to be able to lock the governor out of contract negotiations, and that's all the better for taxpayers. The idea that
that's right.
Small government type. He saw the error of government unions and what that causes economically. Even FDR. Now maybe that's just bias on my part for looking at that. But it's absolutely irresponsible that these lawmakers are able to spend the state into near bankruptcy and then have supposedly their hands tied. And that's why it's good that there have been measures pushed for municipal bankruptcy, for school districts as well as other taxing districts. That is legislation that needs to be passed so that effective reforms can be implemented. The state is nearing a very, very bad tipping point.
Yeah, and, we should hold on, Jared.
The stopgap budget, unfortunately, is not going to solve that, as all parties involved have stated.
We should explain a couple things for our listeners. You mentioned House Bill 580. This was a bill that AFSCME put forward and Michael Madigan pushed for, where AFSCME would not have to actually bargain with the state anymore. Instead, an arbitrator would just decide what kind of deal AFSCME gets. And AFSCME knows that an arbitrator in this kind of situation tends to give the unions what they want. And so they didn't want anybody to be able to advocate on behalf of taxpayers anymore or to negotiate on behalf of taxpayers. They wanted to set the whole agenda. And fortunately, that was stopped. We should also explain a little more. You made a reference to President Franklin Roosevelt. People may not know this. President Franklin Roosevelt, of course, was a pro-union in some ways, but he was not for public sector union because even he recognized that it creates kind of an insane situation where these unions can hold the public hostage. And of course, in Illinois, you end up in a situation where there's often no real negotiation going on at all. In a private sector union situation, you have an employer and a union who are sort of have adversarial interests, where the employer wants to save on costs and the union wants to get more money. And so they have kind of opposing interests and they negotiate. But in the public sector union for so many years in Illinois, you didn't have that because you had the public sector unions on one side of the table and you had someone like Rod Blagojevich or Pat Quinn on the other side of the table who is beholden to the public sector unions, had their campaigns funded by them, and then they just give the unions everything they want. And so it makes no sense at all to even have these public sector unions. They shouldn't be allowed under the law at all. People certainly shouldn't be forced to pay for them, as so many government workers are. But that's what got us into this situation in Illinois, where you have a political class with special privileges that none of the rest of us get, from higher wages to locked in pension benefits, to guaranteed employment for life, to retirement at 55, and on and on and on. And they get all these things while the ordinary private sector construction worker, the stay-at-home mom who works a part-time job, retail clerk, all of these people get none of these benefits, and they have to work and work and work to pay for benefits for this tiny handful of government workers. And it's wrong, and it's unsustainable, and it's going to have to end. And hopefully Governor Rauner will stand his ground against Madigan. We've got this 6-month stopgap going on, but hopefully he will keep fighting back against them and end this system of privilege for the likes of AFSCME and the likes of our senator friend who thinks that she should be paid before everybody else. Jared LaBelle, thanks so much for joining us. You can check out the work of Taxpayers United for America online. Jared, thanks again.
Thank you very much for having me, Jacob.
We'll be back on Cities 92.9 after the...
Who's watching officials in the Twin Cities and beyond? Illinois Watchdog Radio with Benjamin Yount.
Welcome back to Illinois Watchdog Radio. I'm Jacob Hubert, filling in for Ben today. Well, it may smell like teen spirit in that song, but it smells like arrogance and corruption in Springfield. In the last segment, we played a clip for you of Senator Kimberly Lightford saying that she should be paid before everybody else in the state. It's really kind of amazing. It's worth listening to again. So we're going to play it again. Here's Senator Kimberly Lightford recorded on the floor of the Illinois General Assembly yesterday.
I know this is something that many of us think is taboo, we shouldn't say. But as legislators, we should get paid for the work that we do. And I think it's wrong for our income to be held for months and months and months, which is another game that's being played. So I hope the work that we're doing today would allow us an opportunity to continue to take care of our own homes. And I'm hoping the comptroller will decide and recognize that we're not vendors, that we're actually employees of this body, and we deserve to be paid.
There you have it. We're not vendors. We're not like those people. We should be paid first. Never mind that the vendors actually provided some kind of service to somebody, unlike us. We should be paid first. That's Senator Kimberly Lightford. So maybe you'd like to give her your thoughts on that. Legislators should hear from people. They should get feedback on their performance. So if you'd like to give Senator Kimberly Lightford some feedback on her performance, I'll give you her phone number, her office phone number. And that number is 708-343-7444. Once again, just to be sure you have an opportunity to take it down if you'd like to, it's 708-343-7444. Senator Kimberly Lightford, displaying the typical Springfield establishment mentality in a little more explicit way than we're used to hearing it. So this is we're getting up toward the break. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to shift our focus a little bit from the Illinois state legislature to the national scene. We're going to talk about the libertarian idea and the libertarian movement. Is libertarianism an idea whose time has come? Well, it seemed like it in recent years. We've seen some enthusiasm about this. And the question is, are the libertarians going to capitalize on it here in 2016 in this election cycle where we have two Republican and Democrat candidates who are so widely hated? Stay tuned for that. We'll be back here on Cities 92.9 after these messages.
Call the show at 451-9299. Illinois Watchdog Radio with Benjamin Yount.